A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Psachim 31b, pagination page 62. Towards the bottom of the page, about 20 lines from the bottom, a new Mishnah Masnisin in the middle of a line. Chometz Shenafla Olav Ma'apolis. Chometz upon which a ruin fell, so that the wall collapsed, and we know that there's chametz there, but it's covered over. Harehu kimevuar, it is considered as if it has been eliminated. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that there's a way to quantify how much wall, how much ruin has to be on top of the chametz, so that you should not have to do bedikas chametz and remove it. Kol sheina kelev liyachal lechapis acharav, the amount that a dog would not pursue the chametz, wouldn't smell the chametz, and therefore try to get to it. The Gemara explains that there are two conditions here. Amar Rav Chista says, v'sarach sheyevato b'libo, you still have to do bitul chametz, because it's your chametz, you own it, and you have to make the statement that it's nullified. And the second issue is that if you know there is chametz there, tana kama chafisas hakelev, how much is the amount that a dog would not pursue it? Shalosh tfachim, three tfachim, quick math, 10 to 12 inches of covering of the ruin would make it that the chametz does not require upon you a bedika to remove it. Now, there is a fascinating question regarding the refrigerator, for example, in a kitchen. If the refrigerator has to be moved as part of the cleaning for chametz and checking for chametz, practical observance, the way people typically practice, my impression is that they move the fridge to clean behind it or under it during the cleaning process preceding Pesach, but that during the Bedika itself, the actual obligation of Bedikas Chametz, they certainly do not move the fridge as part of that formal Bedikas Chametz. So we do see an interesting kind of balance, and we would wonder what exactly is the obligation to clean behind the fridge or underneath the fridge. And one of the considerations certainly would be if it is considered mevuar, if the fact that the fridge blocks it and it is a item of weight which does not typically get moved and it's in place, there's no fear that you're going to remove it during Pesach to discover something, it's not a practical concern, would that fall into this Mishnah? And there are a number of considerations. One of the considerations is that what's underneath the fridge typically is not a kazayis. It's not considered edible under typical standards, although it is possible, for example, a Cheerio to theoretically at least blow off the dust, and theoretically no one would be the wiser, but on a practical level it's not really something that we're concerned with. I think that is the matter of practice, that we try to move the fridge, we try to clean it out, we want the home to be chametz free. If you don't do that, you never know, someone's going to sweep and maybe they'll reach a little further underneath the fridge and actually be able during Pesach inadvertently to bring chametz into your kitchen. You don't want that. I think that typically people check it, but understand that it is perhaps going beyond the strict requirement, even though that is recommended. What would happen if an older woman, for example, in the community, would give you a call, Erev Pesach, she can't move her fridge. She needs help. She needs someone to move the fridge so she can clean behind it. So, of course, the mitzvah police in town all the well-meaning people would come running and move the fridge for her and clean behind it and offer her all kinds of other assistance in addition. On a practical level, it's worth asking a shaila, is it truly necessary to move the fridge? Are you doing the mitzvah of bior chametz? Are you doing more the mitzvah of chesed because this is what she needs, because this is the way she's done it every year? It's an interesting consideration, something to think through. The Gemara continues and tells us that the amount of covering on an item depends why we are covering it. Or not we covering it, but it got covered. So in terms of chametz on Pesach, for Bedikas chametz issues, we required 3 tfachim of cover, and then we assumed that a dog would not pursue that chametz. Amar le'Rav Acha b'Rei de'Rav Yosef le'Rav Ashi. They asked the following question. Hada Amar Shmuel, this that Shmuel taught us. K'safim ein lem shmira ela bakarka, the proper place to hide money in their time was in the ground. Mi bo'inan shlosha tfachim alot. Does it have to be covered by 3 tfachim of dirt or not? Amalei, and he answered him, ha chamishum recha, over here there's a scent. Bo'inan shlosha tfachim, you need 3 tfachim so that the dog would not pursue it. The dog can smell, and at 3 tfachim it's already considered off limits. Hasam, but over there by money, mishum iksuye me'einehu, we just want to cover it from the eye, that a person who's looking around shouldn't know where you hid the money. V'lavoy shlosha, you don't need 3 tfachim for that. V'kama, how much do you need on a practical level? Amar Rafram bar Papa taught, tefach. You need 1 tefach to cover over the money. Obviously, in our time, you have to pay attention, whatever is normal minig. Normal minig presumably would be on a significant amount of money, either to transfer it into some sort of deposit so that it can be put into the bank, or if you don't want to transfer it, you put whatever it is that you're guarding straight into a safe deposit box. But in terms of burying in the ground, what is considered hidden? So the Gemara concedes that yes, it would depend for what purpose we're hiding it, and therefore by chametz, because there's a scent, it actually requires a greater level of depth so that it should not attract the kelev, and that becomes the litmus test if it's properly covered. Yashar koach, have a great day.